read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
You want to talk about hippity hoppity. Boy, Amy and I have just been on high. We're just so happy to be alive and to be in the world. It's just what we've been talking about for the last 10 minutes. We're just ready to share love and joy. Good morning.
Yes, we are. Good morning.
Welcome to our book pick segment. We have a lot of great books that Amy has brought in. Let me introduce her. Amy Lane is of the Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery, here to convince you that all of these titles are winners, and they really are. And there's some really important things for our frame of mind and for our world at large, and some just great, great stuff. So we go to that, but before we do that, we welcome Amy Lane to the program. It's always a joy to see you.
Likewise, Joe.
Yeah, very nice.
Yes,
to
thank you.
Always good to see you. All right. So where would you like to begin?
I guess I'm going to start with the big one on my list, the one that I think is the most important book that we need to all read nowadays, and it is called The Power of Kindness by Piero Ferrucci, who is an Italian psychotherapist. And, of course, we are all now in the state of whatever state we're feeling, and most of it doesn't feel good, right, with our imminent change of presidents that is occurring. And I think it's all too easy to forget the simple acts of kindness, for lack of a better term, make a big difference in how we live our lives when we feel powerless against the forces that are out there that we can't directly reach on a very real level. We can turn to our everyday actions and thoughts and principles and hold fast to those and pass them along, right, and cultivate that. And so I think this book is a really beautiful resource. It allows us our humanity. It encourages compassion and empathy and all of those traits that we wish to put more into practice, such as honesty, right? Mindfulness, patience. Can we just have a little more patience with one another? And forgiveness and those simple things, all these virtues that we teach our children, right? Can we now?
Or we should teach our children.
Well, we should. But many, yes, of our picture books, many of our small, you know, our books for younger kids, that this is what they talk about. Let's think about the other person that we're dealing with. Can we put ourselves in their shoes? That's compassion. And empathy. Should we act a little more kindly, right? There's just all sorts of good, virtuous thoughts in this. And so I'm going to read this paragraph that's taken from the introduction to this book. And it is, kindness. It may strike us as absurd to even approach the subject. Our world is full of violence, war, terrorism, devastation, and yet life goes on precisely because we are kind to one another. No newspaper tomorrow will tell of a mother who read a bedtime story to her child, or a father who prepared breakfast for his children, of someone who listened with attention, of a friend who cheered us up, of a stranger who helped us carry a suitcase. Many of us are kind without even knowing it. What do we do? We simply do because it is right.
Mm.
And that's, I feel, a movement that we need to start and practice in our own lives.
We should note this is a book that came out about 10 years mm-hmm. ago and is being reissued because they believe that we should be reminded of this.
And rightly so. We should. We really should. When our elected leader presents none of those characteristics, no decency, no humanity, no sense of anything other than his own sense of self and importance, and he forgets the rest of us, I feel like then the rest of us need to take care of each other.
And this is a nice place to start.
It's
to kind of put
place.
Those things in our minds,
yes,
and make us mindful of them.
Absolutely.
The name of the book is The Power of Kindness by Piero Ferrucci.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, so the next thing I'm going to talk about, I'm going to move on to a nice, fun, escapist sort of fiction book by a favorite Chris Bojalian. It's his latest, it releases today. It's called The Sleepwalker. It is about a woman who is, in fact, a somnambulist, and she wanders off one night and disappears. And so her daughter is the narrator of the story, and it is her search to seek what happened to her mother with the help of a local detective. So it's kind of a good mystery, and it's thought-provoking, and it gives you a little bit of insight into the world of sleepwalkers, if you're interested.
Yes, I find that fascinating. I have a niece who sleepwalks.
Really?
And it's freaky.
It's
just a little freaky. You think of it as one of those things that you see in the movies and hear about and read about, like in novels,
right,
by Chris Bojalian. And yet, yeah, people really do this.
I'm not sure that you would want to read this if you have a sleepwalker in your life.
Okay.
It could be a little bit terrifying of the things that can happen or that they do. Because in this particular one, her version of sleepwalking includes, like, she's like a sex sleepwalker, so she goes out searching for, libidinous connections. So I just gave a little bit of a spoiler, but not too much.
Okay, great. It's called The Sleepwalker by Chris Bojalian.
But still, it's kind of fun. So the next one I wanted to talk about is The Marches by Rory Stewart.
Yes.
Yes, who wrote The Places in Between, which was his walk through Afghanistan.
Yes.
So this is kind of an interesting dual memoir, but it's a journey that he takes through the borderland of England and Scotland and the wall erected by the Romans, which I can't recall the name of at the moment. It is Hadrian's Wall. There we go. I wrote it down for a reason.
Nice.
And it's he and his father, and it's their journey together, what drives them sort of to that interesting child-parent relationship of frustrations because dad does one thing, you do the other, and you want to connect, but you're not quite connecting. And then he does it himself. So he travels alone from his house to his father's. And it talks about, all these wonderful British, Scottish, and Roman histories and his own sense of place in that. And he's got the, like, lush, gorgeous descriptions of the setting that is around him. So it's great. It's a nice, wonderful travelogue to take with you this season.
Good stuff. Rory Stewart.
Yeah. Next is, I got to talk about this book. Martin Scorsese's making this movie called Silence, based on the book Silence by Shusaku Endo, a Japanese author. And this topic always fascinates me. For whatever reason, I've been enthralled by stories of Jesuits who struggle with their faith and have these crises of faith and challenges and sufferings. And so this is one of those. And it's a historical novel set in the 1600s Japan, where a small contingency of Jesuits has missionaried successfully in Nagasaki, and there are Catholics that exist there, and they are like now being put down by and tortured, literally tortured by their government. And what do the men of the cloth, how do they hold on to their faith while having the government demand that they renounce it and using their flock to and as a means to get them to renounce their faith by torturing those people who are also under their charge. It's an interesting dilemma and crisis, and I'm not sure, and it's open enough to interpretation for the reader to take away what they will from it. And it's beautifully written in ways that I think that Japanese writers have, where they have a real economy of words.
Silence by Shusaku Endo, and I assume they've put in a nice new edition for the film?
Yeah. They've got all sorts of editions out there, actually.
Yeah, your choice.
Yeah, woo! This is my favorite.
Okay.
And then the next thing I want to talk about is there's a lovely book now, of course, again, back to the politics and the changing of the guard, that's been put together by Veronica Chambers. It's called The Meaning of Michelle, 16 writers on the iconic First Lady and how her journey inspires our own. And I think this is a lovely, important work. She is an amazing woman. She has broken through the glass ceiling in some ways that I don't think we even realize. I think she is an incredibly relatable First Lady. She is accessible in ways that I'm not sure others in recent past have been. And it's, you know, she is more than her beautiful arms and fashion choices. And I like what these essays do is they remind us of all that she's given not only the writers themselves, but to the rest of us at large.
It is The Meaning of Michelle, of course, Michelle being Michelle Obama, the First Lady. 16 writers on the iconic First Lady, edited by Veronica Chambers.
Okay. So now that we're in the new year and we want to think more healthy and so we have we have the power of kindness, because I always feel like it's good to rethink how we relate and the power of our souls, for lack of a better term, but also our bodies. And this was what your previous segment was about, with your body wise and all of that. We've got this 100 weight loss bowls, by Heather Winnie. And these are broken down into wonderful categories. So bowls tend to be, they're the new culinary trend right now, if you're unaware, but they're delicious. Take a look at some of the recipes.
Put everything in a bowl, stir, mix, and enjoy.
They've got a really interesting, things that I would never have thought of, like sardines and roasted tomatoes with spinach, avocado, and apple.
I would not have thought of that either.
Red lentils and cherry tomatoes and spinach and avocado. Everything is healthy. It looks delicious. And if you're a calorie counter, they've got those there for you. If you're looking for
vegan,
gluten-free.
Exactly. Dairy-free. Look at that.
So it breaks everything down into really palatable calorie categories. And again, man, the food just looks and sounds delicious. So I can't wait to dig into some of these recipes myself.
Did you know that you can make a squid, carrot, and cucumber with saffron dressing bowl in just 5 minutes for under 300 calories?
I did not.
Well, there you go. And doesn't the squid there look appetizing?
If one is appealing to, you know.
But no, this is really good. And there's some beautiful beautiful photos in here.
They really are.
One oat, orange, and a carrot smoothie with almonds and chia seeds, which looks absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And they're just colorful.
They're fun.
Kale and orange smoothie. They're just really good stuff. So
you
go.
I love. This is my favorite cookbook of the new year.
A lot of porridge. I'm a big fan of porridge.
Right? I was having a debate. I had some oatmeal this morning and I overheated it in the microwave. And I'm like, man, now it's porridge.
What have I done?
Seriously, I went to get some oatmeal and now I'm stuck with porridge. Disappointment, man. And
extreme disappointment.
Yeah. So I have two kids' books left, and I love them both because they're adorable and they make me happy in so many ways. We've got one called My Kite is Stuck and Other Stories by Selina Yoon. It's a duck porcupine book, and these are little beginning reader chapter books.
Of course it is.
That have these wonderful, very bold outlined illustrations that have that sort of chalky, crepe paws, kind of very primary colorful. And, you know, a kite gets stuck in a tree. How do they get it down? They kick a ball. It's problem solving. Everything gets stuck in the tree. And then Duck brings over a ladder and they think that's great. And of course, they throw the ladder into the tree as well.
Not good.
No. But they do eventually solve their problems and everything works out beautifully. And there are several little stories. There are three in here, and it's a delight. So if you've got an emerging reader, check that one out.
And I assume when it says a duck porcupine book, there are others.
Yes, there's one other,
okay,
which is the first duck porcupine.
All right.
And so yes, the characters are a duck, and a porcupine. In case
what a
you
role,
haven't been paying
right?
attention. And then my last one, again with the animal themes. These are photographs of squirrels. This is also a series. It's The Secret Life of Squirrels, a love story. Buy this for your Valentine. It's by Nancy Rose. It's utterly adorable, these squirrels. Mr. Peanuts, by the way, is the main character, and he lives alone.
Now, these are real photographs of real squirrels.
Yeah. And so he meets another girl squirrel. in the bookstore, where she's looking at his first book, which is The Secret Life of Squirrels.
All right.
And they strike up a friendship, and then...
So I guess there's been some altering of the squirrel behavior, I assume.
Well, she actually does put them... She creates little tiny scenes for them to run around in.
Oh, I see.
And then she just takes their photographs. And,
oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's kind of adorable. Look. So Rosie asks Mr. Peanuts, will you be my Valentine? Look, she's holding a heart.
It's very cute.
It's adorable.
I would just like to say when I met Amy at the door this morning, and I was a little grumpy. This was the first thing she presented to cheer me up was pictures of squirrels.
They're having fun.
They're very cute.
It's hard kind of not to smile at them.
Yeah, they look very happy.
Mostly, I don't even care about the story.
I don't even care now. After reading this, if they go after my bird feeder. These are very cute animals.
They're adorable. He goes, he makes a wish. He wants a wish for a friend. It's... How do you not enjoy that?
It's The Secret Life of Squirrels, a love story by Nancy Rose.
Yes.
I would like to talk to her sometime, see what's going on in her world. Well, for more information on Open Door Bookstore and Gift Gallery in Schenectady and the great work they do, you can go to their website, opendoor-bookstore.com. You can find Amy's list on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You know I love when you're here.
I love being here.
It's always fun, and I thank you very much for being with us. It's a blast. Again, go to the website, opendoor-bookstore.com. Better yet, go catch them in Schenectady. It's going to be a really exciting place, and get there before the casino opens.
Yes, please.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.